Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Beatles famously sang the words, "All you need is love." Love? Love is all you need. And the Beatles are right. Love is, depending on your definition, the most important factor in life. It is something that we need more than anything else in the entire world. In fact, if babies are not given love in their infancy, they will die. And today in 1 Corinthians, the Lord tells us exactly why love is so important. As God writes through the Apostle Paul, he tells us that love is indeed the most necessary thing. He shares these words. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." You see, what Paul is saying is that we could have all of the outward actions right. Okay? We could speak in tongues. We could speak the message of Jesus Christ until we're blue in the face to everyone we meet. But unless there is love attached to it, unless it is done out of selflessness towards your neighbor, you might as well just be a cacophony of instruments. You could have the most learned and theological mind that has ever existed since Christ himself. You could know the Bible better than anybody else in the entire world. But unless you apply it in love, in selflessness, it's nothing. Absolutely nothing. You could sell all you have. You could sacrifice your service and your body for the most noble of tasks or causes. And yet, if you do it without love, without selflessness, you gain nothing. The most important part of all of our deeds and all of our words is love. And if you want to know what this love looks like, remember that in John's writing, you know, we hear that God is love. What does God do? God gives. Over and over again, God gives. In fact, you read through the entire history of the Old Testament, what is God always doing? He's always giving to his people for their benefit. Because the truth is that God is going to be God whether or not his people exist or not. He's the creator of the heavens and earth. He will always be God. Even if we deny him to our dying day, he is still God. He doesn't need our acts of love. He doesn't. And he doesn't need to give us anything. But he does. God loved the world so that he gave. And we all know the most important part is that he gives his son Jesus. A selfless act. An act having a desire, a foundation to serve you. The message is far from a cacophony. It makes God everything to us, and it gains for him a holy people. When God shows his selfless love, it doesn't equate to nothing. It equates to everything. Everything we know in life is a result of this selfless giving of God. But love isn't just necessary. God also sort of reveals what love looks like, right? As Paul continues on, he identifies this picture. And what I want to do instead of using the word love is I want you to see this through the lens of Christ. And so it's going to sound a little bit different than it is in print, but just bear with me for a moment. Ready? Jesus is patient and kind. Jesus does not envy or boast. He is not arrogant or rude. He is not irritable or resentful. He does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Jesus hears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Because if Jesus is the ultimate expression of God's love, then it means that Jesus does all of this perfectly. He becomes the WWJD example for us of what it means to love, what it means to be selfless. Because what does Jesus do? He speaks the word of God. He tells of God's mystery and knowledge, and he gives all that he has, even his very life. And it's not because he wants accolades. It's not because he knew that the Bible would be written about him. But instead, it's because he wants you to have the benefit of his selflessness. It's for you. It's all for you, for your benefit, that you might have the fruit of love, that you might have forgiveness, that you might have mercy from God. And it's all displayed right there in the person of Jesus. He does every single one of these things that defines what love is. And God is calling you to do it too. He's calling you to be a reflection of Jesus' love to your neighbor. It means that you ought to express love in being patient and kind. And I know sometimes that's very hard, especially when you're frustrated with various people or various organizations in the world. It means that you're supposed to help your neighbor in need. Your love is to rejoice when your neighbor receives good things, rather than our tendency to turn green with envy. Your love is not to indulge in selfishness or arrogance as you build up yourself, right? That's the opposite of love, right? Love is always serving outward, never serving inward. Love is doing for others, caring for others, defending others. God is calling you to look for what is commendable in your neighbor. That's what love is. It looks to the good qualities in them. You know, as the eighth commandment tells us, that we're supposed to see our neighbor and explain everything they do in the kindest way. And it means even when they don't deserve it, even when they've done something wrong and we think they've done something wrong, we should somehow reframe our mind to try to figure out how, you know, to justify their actions. And that doesn't say to turn a blind eye, because remember, the next part is that love never rejoices in wrongdoing, but it rejoices in the truth, which means that it is your job in love to correct your neighbor. When you see them delving off into a sin, or when you see them delving off into false belief, it is your job to lasso them and to bring them back to the truth, to Jesus' righteousness, to his cross, where we receive goodness and mercy and God's love. The truth is that this is so hard to do. Because whether we realize it or not, these words, they're a summary of the Ten Commandments. That's what they are. Because if you want the short one-word summary of the Ten Commandments, it's all contained in the word love. Love for God, love for our neighbor. This is what Jesus does perfectly. And it's what he calls us to do, but as much as we try, we're so bad at it. Which means that we need this last part of the text all the more. Love never ends. Love never ends. And sometimes it seems like love is missing in the world. Sometimes it seems like there are, you know, little glimpses of love maybe here and there, but that the world really doesn't understand. The world doesn't know love. And it's because it's true. Because the world doesn't know Jesus. The world doesn't know what it's like to be selfless. And so they give all of the outward appearances. They say all the nicest things and they do all the greatest things, but yet they don't have the love of Christ. And this is why we need love to never end. Because it means that over and over and over again, the love of Jesus is poured out on you. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. There's nothing you can do to prevent Jesus from going to the cross. There's nothing you can do to prevent him from rising from the dead 3 days later for you. There's nothing you can do to stop him from shedding his blood. His love is too powerful for that. He knows that's what he has to do because that's why he came. To show mercy, to heal the sick, to forgive all of your sins, and your sins are forgiven. That's love. Because, my friends, none of us deserve it. None of us have earned it. But in Jesus' mercy and his selflessness, he gives it to you anyway. And he gives it to you over and over and over again. And no matter what sin, no matter how big, no matter how small, Jesus' love is stronger. His forgiveness will always overcome. But for now, we see in a mirror dimly. Because for now, we're still living in this struggle where we can't quite love the way we want to. And to be honest, we long to see more love in the world. We do. But there will come a time when Jesus will come again. And then we will know fully. Because we will live in the presence of our Savior and we will see Him face to face, just like I see you today. All you need is love. The Beatles famously sang that. But those words too will eventually pass away. But the love of Christ never will. And He Himself has given a word that will last forever. A famous line, right? So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. May God grant that you abide in His selfless love for you in Jesus Christ, in His death and resurrection, and that you might imitate that love toward your neighbor. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.